Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercies and love toward us. Thank you for your compassion and kindness toward us. Thank you for your presence and power that is working in us and with us. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for destroying the works of darkness that were formed against us. Thank you for honoring your name, for glorifying your name in our lives. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your strength that is producing answers to our prayers. Thank you for divine healing and divine deliverance we have received from you. Thank you for removing limitations from our ways. Thank you, Father. Thank you for helping us in our helplessness and hopelessness. Thank you for performing your promises in our lives. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that is guiding our lives. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that is empowering us for victories, for successes, for breakthroughs. Thank you, Father. Thank you for connecting us with your anointing that makes impossible things possible. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that as we would be spending some time in your presence this morning, visit us in your power. Open our eyes to learn new things as we hear your word. As we pray, hear us from your throne. Hear every saint. Deliver the oppressed. Change our situations. And have your will in our lives. Thank you, Father, for we know you're going to do beyond our expectations. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue with our teaching. And after that, we are going to pray. And God is going to answer our prayers. Amen. Let us look at the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 53, verse 11. Isaiah 53, verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by the knowledge. Shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many? For he shall bear their iniquities. He shall see the travail of his soul. We are still learning about Jesus in Isaiah 53. So the topic says, understanding Jesus in Isaiah 53. Part 9. Understanding Jesus in Isaiah 53, part 9. So we can see in this place, in Isaiah 53, verse 11, where God says, he shall see the travail of his soul, and he will be satisfied when he sees that. And not only that, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Now, what this verse is saying is that Jesus, after he would have died for human beings, he would see the travail of his soul and will be satisfied. So what does that mean? It means everything Jesus went through was for us. Everything about his life was for us. So he lived all of his life to save us, to deliver us, to take away our sins, to give us a new life, to make us new creatures. So every part of his life is on eternal record. And that record, or that recording, is just like when you hold your camera, just as some of us here, you have phones that has camera. You have mobile devices that can that can take a video recording. Yeah, so in the same way, God was recording everything Jesus went through on earth for us. So there's a divine video recording that was taking place when they arrested him, even before that. And then they arrested him, they beat him, flogged him, insulted him, naked him, crucified him. And then when he was praying for us before he gave up the ghost on the cross, when he said it is finished, when he was buried, when he rose again, every bit of those experiences were recorded by God. Yeah, so here in Isaiah 53 verse 11, it says, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. So it means after Jesus would have died, resurrected, and ascended to heaven, is going to see, they're going to play to him the video recording of everything he went through. And as he looks at the recording, he shall be satisfied. Praise the Lord. And I have said it before, maybe last week, Tuesday. Yeah, he said that hour or those hours Jesus walked on the surface of the earth and went through humiliation and the beatings and the crucifixion and resurrection. I said that power is still alive. So God kept those moments alive because humanity will continue to need those moments. So God knows we'll continue to need those moments of Jesus' sufferings and pains. Don't forget that this same Isaiah 53 said, with his stripes, we are healed. With his stripes, we are healed. Yeah, so there is a live video recording of everything Jesus went through for us. And they are not just recording, they are alive. That recording is alive. It's as though it is still happening as we speak. They are such that if you come boldly before God's throne, and you ask for help, because everything Jesus did for us is still alive, God will help you. If you are sick and you come before the throne of mercy, before the throne of grace, because that blood is still alive, that the blood of Jesus is still flowing, is still dropping from his hands or from his wounds, because those moments are still alive. God will show you mercy and will heal you and will deliver you. Yeah, so God kept those moments alive in the archives of heaven. He kept those moments alive. So those times, they are still alive, they are not dead. And we can always run to Jesus. We can always run to the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. Because even now, that sacrifice is still speaking. That sacrifice is still speaking. And the blood is still fresh. And the blood is still flowing. And Jesus is still healing. He's still saving. And he is still delivering people, as many that believe on his name. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so Isaiah 53 verse 11 says, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And not only that, it went further to say, by his knowledge shall a righteous servant justify many. That is, by the experience of the things you went through, it shall justify many, for it shall bear their iniquities. Now, if you look at this same verse in New Living Translation, Isaiah 53 verse 11, when he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, you will be satisfied. Yeah, you see, the word accomplished is in the past. Yeah, and the past tense, not present tense, past tense, accomplished. So after Jesus had died, had went to heaven, God will now show him how much his death and resurrection had accomplished. The Bible says when he sees all of that, he will be satisfied. And not only that, it went further to say, and because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous. Because of this experience you went through, there will be possibility for Jesus to make many people righteous. Because everything he went through is power. Though at that moment they might look like shame and disgrace, but they were equal to power. Everything Jesus went through is power. Now, we are going to discuss this teaching under 4 points. Point number one, Jesus' sacrifice gave us everything we needed. There is point number one. Jesus sacrifice gave us everything we needed. Now let us look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 verse 22 to 24. Genesis 3, 22-24. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken." Verse 24. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Praise the Lord. You can see from these verses how man and how man lost his home in the Garden of Eden, and how man lost his access the tree of life, and because they corrupted themselves through disobedience, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God commanded them not to eat from, they went ahead to eat from that. And in so doing, they corrupted themselves. Their eyes were opened, which in real sense, I believe that was when their eyes were blinded. So it wasn't opened, actually. It was blinding. Yeah, before they ate the fruit, their eyes were opened. Yeah. And after they ate the fruit, their eyes were blinded. And that is the way I see it. Yeah, because they lost their spirituality and divinity. Disobedience. But that is not where I'm going. We saw that God had to chase them out of the garden. And if you look at verse 23, Genesis 3, verse 23, "Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken." So before now, man wasn't created to till the ground. All the trees in the Garden of Eden, God planted them by himself. God planted the garden. It wasn't Adam who planted the garden. God only told him to dress it, to manage it, to manage both the plants and the animals, to control them, to guide, to lead those animals, to watch over. the garden. God, I mean, Adam didn't plant the garden. Yeah, so it wasn't man's duty to plant or to labor concerning what he is going to eat. It was God's responsibility to actually provide what man will eat. But that changed after the sin. I pray you will be delivered from sin forever. In Jesus' name. So God sent them out of the garden to go and till the ground, to go and look for food by themselves. They were cursed. That was what we lost in the beginning. We lost Eden. We lost God's provisions, God's ability to care for us, to meet our needs. We lost the tree of life. We lost immortality. We lost the opportunity to live forever and not have to get old, become old, become sick, and eventually die. We lost all of those things because of sin. Now, Jesus' sacrifice gave us everything that we lost, and even give us more. The sacrifice of Jesus restored everything that man lost through sin. And then that sacrifice even gave us more. Now let us look at John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So Jesus came to give us life. Even that life we couldn't take in the garden. Jesus came to give us that life. And to give us abundant life. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. But some of you might be thinking, if now we have all that we lost in Eden, if now we have all that God took away from Adam, why does it look like we don't have those things? Why are we still hungry? Why are we suffering? Why do we have to find job, get Lord? Why do we have to till the ground or work for money before we eat? Well, the truth is, Jesus' sacrifice has given us everything we need. Everything we need. Yeah. That is the truth. So the answer to that question is, for as many whose faith in Jesus is strong and alive, they would realize that they have been given everything they needed in this life. Because Jesus would take care of them. Because they will experience a lot of miracles, of blessings, and provisions. So if we can believe in the power that the sacrifice of Jesus commands, we will see all that we need come to us effortlessly. Everything we need will come to us. Everything. Everything. Jesus gave us everything we needed through his sacrifice. Only if you can believe and trust him. But it's so difficult for people to trust him. That is why it is still difficult for them to enjoy all the benefits of his sacrifice. If you are still finding it difficult to trust him, to hold on to him, then you will lack those benefits his sacrifice has brought to you. Yeah, those benefits would be missing in your life. So you have to learn to trust Jesus. Trust him with your life. And you will see that he is faithful. Trust him with your life. Trust him with the whole of your heart. And it will be confirmed to you that Jesus is faithful. And not only that, obey him. If you trust him, you will obey him. If disobedience took away hidden from us, obedience will give us hidden. Disobedience took away the garden of Eden, and obedience will give it back to us. Obey him. Trust him follow him. Yeah, Jesus would meet people and then he would tell them, follow me. Some of these people, they already have businesses they were doing. They already have things they do with their time. And Jesus would look at he would look at them and he would say, follow me. Yeah, and some of them that were wise, they would not argue with him. They wouldn't say, how am I supposed to live? Do you mean I should just leave everything and follow you? They wouldn't ask questions. They would leave everything and they would follow him. Yeah, because all that matters is to follow him, to trust him, and to obey him. That is all that matters. It is not your job that matters, not your business, not your marriage, not whatever you are busy, you're always busy doing. All that matters is to follow him, obey him, and trust him. If we can do that, he will take care of us. But since the time Jesus began to walk the surface of this earth till today, it has been very difficult for human beings to do those three things. Follow him, trust him, and obey him. Are they not simple things? Why is it so hard to follow him? Simple instructions. Follow me. Trust me. Obey me. Very simple instructions. He said, if any man will follow me, will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily. Those simple things, so difficult. Well, they are not actually difficult. We have made it difficult by ourselves. We made those things difficult for us by ourselves. They are not actually difficult. Because we still love our own lives. We still love our own will. That is why it seems it's difficult. But it is not. It's very easy to follow him and to please him. I pray you will stop making these things difficult for yourself. In Jesus' name. Let us move to point number two. Point number two says, lay down your life for others. Lay down your life for others. Let us look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. 1 John three verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. In other words, it's saying this is how we understand the love of God for us. This is how we understand the love of Jesus for us. If he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You ought to lay down your life for the brethren, for others. Do you understand that? Do you understand what it means to lay down your life for the brethren? Okay, let me try to make you understand. What did Jesus, what should I say? What Jesus did? Did you do the same for others? What Jesus did for you? Do you do the same for others? For you? If you can't, then it means this scripture is not happening in your life. It means you have failed this scripture I have just read to you. So the question again is, what Jesus did for us? Can you do the same for others? If you can't, then you will have limitations in how much, or maybe I should say, in receiving the benefit of the sacrifice of Jesus. You will have limitations in receiving from the benefit, the sacrifice of Jesus brought for you, or as authorized for you. Yeah, the reason is because the law, the principle in God's kingdom is that we lay down our lives for the brethren, even as God made Jesus lay down his life for us. And that is the principle. There are so many things I couldn't possess in Jesus until I begin to follow this scripture I just read to you. So many things I couldn't get in Jesus until God began to teach me to lay down my life for others. Many of us in the church today don't want to lay down our lives for others. And we want want to continue to enjoy the benefits of the sacrifice of Jesus. How is that going to work? So we don't have this sacrificial love for others. We don't care about others. We only care about ourselves. In fact, we try to use others to benefit ourselves. We try to manipulate others, control others, to profit ourselves. That is witchcraft. That is wickedness. But that wasn't what Jesus did. He laid down his life. You call yourself a minister of God. How much of your life have you laid down for the brethren? You're always looking for comfort. What is comfortable for you? What a shame. How can you call yourself a minister of God, a servant of God, a pastor, when it's so difficult for you to lay down your life for the brethren? If it's not comfortable, you can't do anything for anyone. If it's not convenient, you don't care about others. You cannot go out of your comfort zone to help others, to pray for others. That is failure. It shows you're not a servant of God. Yeah. Do you know what the missionaries went through to bring the gospel to your country? Many of them, I learned that many of the missionaries that brought the gospel to Africa, many of them suffered terrible things. Terrible things. Some were killed by sicknesses and diseases they did not, that were strange to them. So they did not even have the drugs. Malaria killed many of them. And not only that, some of them were offered as sacrifices to idols in different African countries they went to. Some of them were buried alive. I heard of a man, a missionary, who prayed to the point that his heart shifted to the other side. He prayed so hard. So I guess after he had done a lot of work, he felt like, when will I see the results of this work I have done with all my life in this land? And he went into prayer. He wants to be sure that God will not allow his work to waste. He wants to be sure through prayers that all his labors will produce great fruits. He prayed for so long that his heart shifted to the other side. Do you know what it means for the heart to shift from its place to another place? It wasn't long after that he died. Yeah, these were men that were completely sold out for others. They were completely sold out, they poured out their lives as an offering for others. These are people, some of them refused to marry. Some of them refused to have children because of their love for others. And then some people will say they are preachers, they are servants of God, and yet they are not laying down anything for others. May God have mercy on this generation. What Jesus did, not us, not to also lay down our lives for others. I pray we do this. In Jesus' name. Point number 3. Jesus' power makes men righteous. Jesus' power that makes men righteous. Let us look at 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God made him sin, but he knew no sin, so that we can become the righteousness of God. So there is power in Jesus to make men righteous. It is the power of Jesus that makes us righteous. It is not, righteousness is not according to the will of man. Righteousness is according to the power of God. I'm going to repeat myself. Righteousness is not according to the will of man. That is, it doesn't come because man wants to be righteous. Righteousness is according to the power of God that is in Jesus. So we do not become righteous because we want, or maybe I should say, we do not become righteous only by wanting to be righteous. That alone cannot give righteousness. We become righteous by the power of Jesus. That is what makes us righteous. So if anyone thinks he can do righteousness just by himself, that man is deceiving himself. And that righteousness of his is unacceptable So the power of Jesus makes us righteous. Not our strong will. It is not our strong will that makes us righteous. It is the power of Jesus. Now, if you look at John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So we become the sons of God through power. As we trust in Jesus, it gives us the power to be righteous. Not as you trust in yourself, but as you trust in Jesus. For this is the reason why God made him to be sin for us, so that we can inherit God's righteousness, or we can become God's righteousness. So stop depending on your own self to become righteous. You have to depend on Jesus and let him make you righteous. There are so many people in the church today that are practicing fake righteousness. Because whatever life they are living, it's a calculated life. They just sat down and then they think, if I can do this, do that, not do this, not do that, I think I'll be all right in the sight of God. I'll be righteous in the sight of God. So they give themselves their own righteousness, neglecting the power that should make them righteous. In so doing, many of them have serious issues with God. And many of them are doomed for eternal damnation. Have you asked yourself, do I have issues with God? A lot of Christians already have issues with God. Unsolved issues. God is not happy with their lives and they are okay with it. Because they have given themselves their own righteousness. They don't even open the Bible to see how God wants them to live their lives. They don't even allow the Spirit of God to rule their lives. So they believe they know how they should live their lives. So they don't want any person to tell them how to live their lives. So they give themselves their own righteousness. And they think that is acceptable in the sight of God. Fools they are. Because now many of them are doomed forever. Are you also practicing self-righteousness? You have humbled yourself to the point that you ask God to lead and control your life. Let us move to point number four. Point number four says Jesus bears our sins to save us from them. Jesus bears our sins to save us from them. Now, if you look at that same Isaiah 53 verse 11, the latter part talks about Jesus bearing our sins. He shall see the travail, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Praise the Lord. It shall be their iniquities. Now, Jesus bears our sins to save us from them. Not for us to continue as slaves to sin. That is not why he bears our sins. Jesus did not carry your sins upon himself so that you can continue to sin and to sin and to sin. Yeah, because there is someone that is carrying those sins and the consequences. So you feel like, let me just continue to sin and to sin. That is disaster. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, Matthew 1, verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Yeah, can you see that? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So Jesus bears our sins to save us from those sins, not to authorize slavery to the sins, like some people preaching nowadays, saying that once you surrender your life to Jesus, you can continue to sin for as long as you want. That is a demonic doctrine because it is not biblical. If you want the sacrifice of Jesus to deal with your sins and deliver you from the consequences of your sins, which of course sicknesses, diseases are consequences of our sins, captivities, prisons of darkness are consequences of our sins. So if we want the sacrifice of Jesus to forgive our sins and to destroy the consequences of our sins, we must stop sinning. We must let Jesus save us from our sins. Because that sacrifice does not only forgive sins, it removes sin. It destroys that thing in you, that nature in you that is making you to sin. The sacrifice of Jesus destroys that nature. Or have destroyed the nature. So you are supposed to pray until you see it happen in your life practically. Until you see the power of Jesus, the power of his sacrifice, destroy the nature that is in you that is still making you to tell lies, that is still making you to deny Jesus in your character and attitude. How many of you have prayed that prayer? That God should destroy the nature in you that is making you to continue to sin. Have you prayed that prayer? And has that prayer been answered? If you have not allowed God to do this deliverance on you, you can't make heaven. That's the truth, because you won't be able to stop sinning. If you have not prayed and received deliverance from the sinful nature that makes us to sin, because you take away that nature, you take away sin. Once the nature is gone, then you won't sin against God anymore. If you don't let God do that kind of deliverance on you, forget about making heaven, because you can't make heaven. Because you will still sin. Even if you repent today, you will still go back. You will still sin. Some people will say, oh, when I'm about to die, I will just say, oh Lord, may God have mercy on us. Some people will say, when I know it's my time to die, I will just quickly repent and ask for forgiveness. Do you even know when you are going to die? Do you know? More than 80% of people who have died, they didn't know exactly when they would die. I will tell you that that kind of prayer will be answered. Because apart from receiving forgiveness for your sins, this is what we call restitution. Yeah, that is what we call restitution. So if your sinful nature has made you to do certain things to certain people, and you need to make peace with those people before you die, and then let's say you're on the hospital bed and there's no way you can make peace with those people, you will still go to hell. Yeah, so the best thing is to let God deliver you from what is making you to sin against him. I pray that you will be wise. In Jesus' name. Now, we're going to stop here, then we'll be praying now. I believe everything we have been through the help of the Holy Spirit. I believe you have had everything. You have received them with your hand. It is the truth that sets us free. The truth. The truth. It's the truth that does not set you free. Even the most anointed man of God in the world will pray for you and you will not be free. You will do several fastings and prayers and yet you still will not be free because you have not allowed the truth to set you free. You are still fighting the truth. Rejecting the truth. I hope that is not the state of your heart. So we are going to pray. You're going to pray. You're going to speak, Father. You're going to say, Father, I want to be free. You're going to say, Father, I want to be free. Help me to embrace that truth with the whole of my heart. Open your mouth and pray like that. Say, Father, I want to be free. I want to be free. I want to be free from sin. I want to be free from demons. I want to be free from demonic oppression, demonic activities. I want to be free from witchcraft oppression, witchcraft bondages. Say, Father, help me to embrace the truth with the whole of my heart. I believe you are talking to him. There's no rush. Take your time to pray. Take your time to talk to God. That thing that is making you to reject the truth, to reject God's righteousness is going to destroy your life. I'm telling you the truth. Say, oh Lord, help me to embrace the truth with the whole of my heart. Help me to stop arguing the truth. Some Christians, they'll be arguing. They'll be looking for, I don't know what they are looking for. Even they'll be giving excuses for the wrong things they are doing. They'll be putting blames on some people or on certain systems for their wrongdoings has got to help you to stop all of those things. Some they'll be giving their own interpretation of the Bible, whereas the Bible is so clear. The Bible already has given its own interpretation, but yet they will keep on looking for another interpretation that suits their evil ways. Yes, their evil ways. Say, Father, help me to embrace your truth with the whole of my heart and to do it and to do them. Even the truth I have heard today from the mouth of your servant. Say, Lord, help me to embrace the truth and to practice it. For that is where my freedom is. For that is where my deliverance is. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. We are still going to pray. We have four more prayer points to pray. You're going to place your right hand on your head. You're going to say, Father, in my life, let not the sacrifice of Jesus be in vain. You're going to say, Father, please, in my life, don't let the sacrifice of Jesus be in vain. Open your mouth and pray like that. Don't let the sacrifice of Jesus go in vain. Let me enjoy the benefits of that sacrifice in my life. Because he died also for me. Because I believe Jesus shed his blood also for me. Say, Father, let not the sacrifice of Jesus be in vain in my life. Let the sacrifice of Jesus produce results in my life. I hope you are praying that prayer. Let the sacrifice of Jesus produce deliverance in my life. Father, let the sacrifice of Jesus produce healing in my life. Let the sacrifice of Jesus produce victories in my life. Produce restoration in my life. Deliverance in my life. Thank you, Lord. Let the sacrifice of Jesus produce prosperity and abundance in my life. Thank you, Lord. I believe you're praying like that. In Jesus' name. We have three. Amen. We have three more prayer points. You are going to pray. You are still going to place your right hand on your head. going to say, Father, and I want Jesus to save me from sin. Let the power of Jesus destroy the nature of sin that is in me. Or you are saying, Father, I want to be free from sin. Therefore, let the power of Jesus destroy the nature of sin in me. Open your mouth and pray like that. That is what Jesus came to destroy. The sinful nature that is in human beings. The goat, the sheep, the cow in the Old Testament couldn't do that. All the animal sacrifices couldn't do that, couldn't destroy the sin nature. But there is one sacrifice that did that and is still doing that. That is the sacrifice of Jesus. Say, Father, I want to be free from sin. You can be free from sin. Don't let anyone deceive you. You can be pure if you want. Anyway, it seems when people don't actually want to be pure. But I wish you want. Say, Father, I want to be free from sin. Let the power of Jesus destroy the nature of sin that is in me, that is weaved into me. Even the nature of sin I was born with. Let the power of Jesus deliver me now. Let the power of Jesus deliver me now. I hope you're praying. This is the greatest prayer point you can pray for yourself. Freedom from sin. It means freedom from every other bondage. If you can be free from sin, you are free from every other captivity. Continue to pray. Thank you, Lord. Continue to talk to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Deliver me from the nature of Adam, the rebellious nature, the disobedient nature of Adam and Eve that is in me, the nature that don't follow even the simplest instructions in your word. Oh Lord, destroy that nature. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. We have two more prayer points. Some of you want to be healed. You want to be delivered. But you are not forgiving someone that hurt you How is your deliverance going to happen? If you cannot forgive, forget deliverance, because it will not happen. I mean, if you cannot forgive others, forget deliverance, forget healing, it will not happen. What is making it difficult for you to forgive? Well, that thing is going to destroy your life. Whatever is making it difficult for you to forgive others, you're going to pray. You're going to say, Lord Jesus, help me to do the thing that must be done. For my healing and deliverance to happen to me. Open your mouth and pray. Say, Lord Jesus, help me to do what must be done. Some of you, you are not doing restitution. You are not doing restitution. You are not making peace with certain people that you have offended. You are not returning things that you stole. You know you stole certain things from somewhere or from someone. The Word of God teaches that you return those things back to the rightful owners. What doesn't belong to you? And then maybe you told some lies about someone. You need to go and meet that person and amend your ways. Let the person know that everything you said about him was lies. Say, Father, everything that I need to do Everything that I need to do for my healing and deliverance to happen. You can be healed, but maybe it's not complete healing. The Lord, everything I need to do for me to have complete healing and deliverance, help me to do them now. In the name of Jesus, people that I need to forgive, help me to forgive them now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Name. The last prayer point before I will pray for you and on your water. I want you to talk to God. We learned today that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You're going to say, Father, me to lay down my life for others. Help me to sacrifice my life for others, even as Jesus did for me. Open your mouth and pray. And help me, Father, to lay down my life for others. I believe you're praying. Help me to live a sacrificial Christian life. Help me to become a Christian that is willing to endure suffering for others to be blessed. A Christian that is willing to go through pains for others to be blessed, for others to be helped. Make me that kind of Christian. Deliver me from myself. Pray to God like that. Deliver me from self-centeredness, selfishness. Deliver me, Father. Help me to go all out to serve others, to help others, to preach to others, to pray for others. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I'm going to be praying for you now. Open your heart. Let God touch you. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for everything you have taught us in this meeting today. Thank you for making us to learn so much from the life of Christ and from everything that happened in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the peace and joy that the sacrifice of Jesus has created in us, everlasting peace and everlasting joy. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you because the power that heals and delivers and transforms is always available unto us because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Oh Lord, we are grateful for this. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you stretch forth your hand and touch your people right there where they are right now. In the name of Jesus, touch everyone here. In Jesus' name, touch the bodies of your people, touch their souls, touch their spirits, and do your work in their lives. Now, in Jesus' name, do your work of deliverance. Do your work of healing. Do your work of transformation. Now, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Ask that you anoint the water your people have placed before you. Make use of this water to do mighty miracles in their lives. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I have prayed. Amen.